going to continue today in our series, Who is the Holy Spirit? How many are growing in your relationship with the Holy Spirit? Let me ask again, how many are growing? Are you growing in your relationship with the Holy Spirit? We are, and so many of you are sharing how this series is already helping you grow in your relationship with the Holy Spirit. We talked about this the last couple of weeks. That we first kicked it off. We answered the question, who is he? And we designed and but looked at Scripture that he is my friend, that he's not weird. There's weird people, but the Holy Spirit's not weird. But we also know that he is God, that he is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And we are careful to never say that, don't go around churches and talk about the Holy Spirit, because if you ever hear anybody say that, what they're saying to you with their ignorance is this, that don't go around churches who believe in God. Don't go around churches who believe in Jesus, because we see in Scripture we don't separate the three from each other, but all three are a part of the triune Godhead. Last week we talked about, is he a person? And the reason why that's important is we got to realize that if we're going to develop this personal relationship with the Holy Spirit, we got to see him as a person who hears me and who speaks to me and who, when I do not fellowship with him, I what? It says I grieve the Holy Spirit. When I lose my proper fellowship with the Holy Spirit, he grieves that intimate time with me. He grieves that intimacy that we were designed to have with the Holy Spirit. Today, we're going to come in and we're going to ask a question that I believe is going to push a few buttons in here. And how many know I'd love to do that sometimes? We're going to answer the question, is he Pentecostal? Is he Pentecostal? That's going to ruffle some of you right now. I've already got some of you are saying amen. If you're like, I don't know. We don't know. So we got everything in between. And so I love to push a few buttons, and this is no exception today. We're going to get into the Word of God and see what it says about the word Pentecostal and how it relates to the Holy Spirit. Now, let me answer this question for you. You say, Pastor, is the Holy Spirit Pentecostal? Well, let me say this. If by Pentecostal you mean that you, girls, you can't wear pants, and you can't wear makeup, and you live your life in bondage, then no, he's not. I would not put that definition of Pentecostal on him with that definition. It was funny. My family was at Incredible Pizza about a week ago, and we were up there with the kids, and we were inside the, those of you who've been there, they have a big room that you go into. You can, every room has a different theme, and we like to go to the big drive-in room because they usually have an old Walt Disney movie in there, and you can watch it while you're eating pizza. And there was this group that came in. You could tell they definitely had come from a background, and they had some church on that said Pentecostal such and such church, and they were same way. None of them had pants on or makeup, and they had the bondage going on. And, you know, and it's just funny because, you know, they're not actually supposed to watch TV either, because that's kind of a, you know, a sin also. TV is a sin. And so they were, but their eyes were just glued to that. We were laughing. They were eating the pizza like, oh, Willy Wonka in the Chocolate Factory. Like, I'd never seen it before. Willy Wonka. You know, and we were just kind of chuckling inside. You know, they can't watch TV at home, but they can drive an hour to watch it there out of town. Anyway, it's just, they can't say they went to a movie theater, so they went to Incredible Pizza to watch the movie. But if you say you're Pentecostal, I'm sorry, you're not having fun. But if you say you're Pentecostal in that definition, I say, no, the Holy Spirit's not Pentecostal. That's called legalism, and he's not a legalistic God. But if we say Pentecost, when we say that we believe in the Feast of Tabernacle, the Feast of Pentecost and its fulfillment in the New Testament and Old Testament church, if we're talking about the second chapter of Acts when the Holy Spirit was fully come on the day of Pentecost and it is poured out his Spirit upon all flesh, and we're talking about, do I believe in the fullness of the gifts of the Spirit? Do I believe in the fullness of every fruit and gifts of the Spirit? I say, yes, he is Pentecost when it comes to those definitions. And we're going to look at Scripture today and really see where this word Pentecost comes from, what it really means in Scripture, and how it relates to you and I's life. You see, because we all know that John was a Baptist, right? Isn't that true? Everybody knows John was a Baptist. Some of you are chuckling right now because you know where I'm going. Because, let me say this to you. John came and Jesus taught on water baptism. And do we believe in water baptism? Yes, we do. But just because I'm baptized doesn't mean I have to call myself a Baptist. Now, I'm not talking anything negative against our Baptist brothers and sisters, okay? Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that at all. I love them. They're doing a great work with the gospel. That's not what I'm saying. But just because you're baptized, you don't have to go around saying that you're Baptist. the same way, just because I believe that I'm believing in the power of Pentecost and what has rolled my life doesn't mean I have to go around saying I'm Pentecost either. Now, if you want to say you're Pentecost, go for it. That's awesome. That's nothing wrong with that. But I like the word spirit-filled. I like the word full gospel because in a society today, when I'm talking to somebody who's not churched, especially, they don't have a viewpoint of the scripture of Pentecost. Their viewpoint of Pentecost is what they see, what I'm talking about. They see a legalistic view many times that goes along with that. And so I'm not against the word Pentecost in any way at all, and I don't want to come across that way at all. If you want to say you're Pentecost, great, more power to you. I believe in the power of Pentecost. I believe everything Pentecost represents in the scripture. I believe that 100%. But I'll use the term many times spirit-filled, and I'll use the term full gospel. How many think I like full gospel? Because really, when it comes down to it, do you believe the full gospel? I believe everything in scripture. That includes Pentecost. That includes water baptism. That believes God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So I like the term full gospel because I believe in the full scripture. I don't want to cut and paste and take one thing and overemphasize it over other things. I believe the whole gospel and the balance of who it is really important to our life. But I believe we must have an understanding of Pentecost in Scripture if we're really going to understand the fullness of the Holy Spirit in our life. Let's look at it. Let's get right into it. First of all, what is Pentecost? Some of you may think, what is the word Pentecost? We see it there in the book of Acts, chapter 2. But let's read it first of all. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. It says that when the day of what? Pentecost had fully come, they were all with what? One accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as a fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now we see Pentecost is of one of three major feasts that was commanded of the children of Israel to acknowledge and partake in, that God had given the prophets and said, listen, set these feasts before and make sure the people of God honor these feasts and go forward. So we had the Feast of Passover, we had the Feast of Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacle. The Feast of Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacle. We must realize that three times a year that they were commanded to come to Jerusalem and honor these feasts and honor these feasts. Passover was celebrated. Remember when God told Moses to tell the children of Israel when they're trying to get freed from Pharaoh, he said, go and kill the lamb and take the lamb's blood and put it over the doorpost, and the death angel is going to pass throughout the land. And those posts, those homes who have the blood of the lamb smeared across it, the death angel will pass. And those who don't, the firstborn son will be killed. And we know this to happen. And, of course, throughout that night, it says there was a great weeping and gnashing of teeth because many people were covered with the blood, but there's many people who wasn't. Let me say this to you. There's going to come a time when many people are going to cry out because the death angel is going to come, and they're not covered with the blood of Jesus. They're not covered with the blood of the Lamb. There's going to be a lot of crying and gnashing of teeth. There's also going to be a lot of celebrating because deliverance is coming. And so this is what happened during the Passover. And so Passover was established as a time of remembering when God sent the Lamb's blood to help deliver them out of slavery and become a free nation. And so they were commanded to honor the Passover, the Feast of Passover, as remembrance of what happened there. Pentecost, the word Pentecost simply just means this. The word penti means five. Sometimes we think of it as some kind of complex definition, but really the word Pentecost, breaking it down, simply means this. Penti means five, and kosti, which we get the word cost, is to the tenth power, means to the tenth power. So if we look at that by definition, it basically means 50. That's what it means. Pentecost means 50. And so today, if you had a 50th anniversary, we say you're celebrating Pentecost and your anniversary. It's the 50th anniversary, or it's the 50th day, or it's the 50th, number 50 is the word Pentecost. And so some of you are like, well, I didn't realize that. That kind of makes it kind of simple to understand, doesn't it? The word 50. And why is that a big deal? Why would God say, remember the 50th? Let me just tell you, numbers mean a lot in Scripture, and numbers mean a lot to God. We see a pattern of numbers in Scripture that God uses particular numbers over and over again to emphasize and relate together points. And so let me kind of explain it to you like this. On the 50th day after Passover, God sent Moses to the mountain. Remember Mount Sinai, and he brought the cloud of fire, and he said he was leading the cloud by day and the cloud of fire by night. That was leading the children of Israel. He took this cloud of fire pillar, and he put it upon the mountain.
And Moses ascended to the mountain, and God wrote the Ten Commandments, the law, on the tablets. Remember that happening? Okay, that all happened on, they called that the day of Pentecost, okay? Until they were called to remember on Pentecost, 50 days after Passover, they celebrated again that the Spirit of God was transformed on the mountain, that came like a fire, and set on the mountain, and God wrote the law on the tablets. And when that happened, what happened? It says that when Moses came down off the mountain, that they had already started getting weary, and they built the golden calf. And remember that's happening? And Moses was like, Aaron, I left you in charge just for a few minutes. Just a little bit of time. What happened here? They're like, I don't know, Moses. These people are crazy, man. It's like Egyptians gone wild down here. It's crazy out here, man. They're going crazy. And so they're just, you know, every law that had just been written was being broken before Moses ever got off the mountain. I mean, they were just, everything, every kind of idolatry thing that just happened, you could think they were down there doing it. And so Moses gets down, of course, he pushes the golden calf into the fire and have it crumbled up into ashes, and he made them drink the water with the ashes. And it was really horrible, man. There's some bad punishment going on. And Moses said, remember, choose you this day whom you will serve, those that are on the side of the Lord. Come up here with me. You know, and everybody went with Moses, the tribe of Levi, and they all went with him, except for 3,000. And the 3,000 who did not go and choose the side of the Lord, they were put to death and they were killed right away. So we see on the first day of Pentecost, what happened? 3,000 people were killed. The fire of God sets upon a mountain. He writes the law on the tablets of stone. So this happens 50 days after the Passover, which is really important to remember, because Jesus died on Passover. Do you realize this? That Jesus died on Passover. At the morning of Passover was the morning of the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior. Why is that important? Because what did Passover represent? Now you think Herod and Pilate had it all this plan together? Let's make sure Jesus dies on Passover. No, it didn't happen that way, but God had a plan. And God had knew about it already. So all the way back in the Old Testament, God was already painting a picture of redemption for you and I. When he said, take the lamb, the spotless lamb, and take it and put the blood over the doorpost, and the death angel will pass over those who are covered with the blood. Then he says, when Jesus died on the cross, he shed his blood for what? For the forgiveness and remission of sins. And as it so happens, that blood was shed when? On Passover. Now, man, listen, they had no idea what they were doing. They had no idea that they were killing the Lamb of God. But they were killing him not only for the remission of sins, but they killed him on the day of Passover. Now, this is what's important, because did Pentecost happen 50 days after Passover? No, it did not. Because you look at Scripture, how long was he in the tomb? This is not a hard one. In 3 days, what? All right, he's in the tomb for 3 days, okay? And then 3 days after he resurrected, it says that Jesus was on earth for how long? 40 days. And after 40 days, he ascended. And they were told to go wait in Jerusalem and tarry for the Holy Spirit. For how long did they have to wait? 10 days. So that is 50 days. 50 days after Jesus resurrected from the dead, then the Holy Spirit came. So the math doesn't really add up. If God's so particular about math, why doesn't the math really add up? Well, let me give you a scripture that maybe you've never read before. When I do, it's going to turn the light onto you, and it's really going to send chills down your spine when you really see how God has had a plan for the Holy Spirit for Pentecost all along. Look what he says here in Leviticus 23, God giving the commands. And you shall count for yourselves. And he's talking about the feast of Pentecost, okay? And you shall count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath. So if Pentecost is going on, the Feast of Pentecost is going on during the week, if it ends on Friday, then he says, the Passover goes on during the week, if it ends on Friday, he goes, I want you to celebrate 50 days after the day of the Sabbath. Now think about this. He's telling them, I want you to celebrate Pentecost 50 days after the day of the Sabbath. Why would he really care about that? Because he knew that later on, that his son was going to rise again on that day after the Sabbath. And he knew the Holy Spirit was going to be poured out 50 days later. And so the numbers all line up, the Pentecost happening 50 days after the resurrection, right when God said that it happened. I mean, look at that. Isn't that awesome? I mean, look at that. God had ordained Pentecost all along the Scripture. So much that he had crossed every T and dotted every I, that you and I can realize that the numbers line up exactly how he intended for them to line up. If you start counting the day after the Sabbath, that's Sunday morning, 50 days after that is when the Holy Spirit was poured out in the upper room. Exactly. Isn't our God good? And you and I, we're not that good, are we? We couldn't plan anything any better. We couldn't get thousands and thousands of years to line up numerically. We just don't have that kind of control. But how many know our God is bigger than us? Our God has numbers in control, and he was painting a picture, and he was bringing a place for you and I to read and to raise our faith level of knowing that, you know what, this thing about the Pentecost, this thing about the Holy Spirit has been God's design all along for mankind. It's been a part of redemption. It's been a part of the empowerment of redemption, and he has set it in the course and the action all the way in the book of Law in Leviticus. We see where he was making a way for Pentecost, making a way for the Holy Spirit to come and be passed out in the upper room. That should build your faith today. So what happened on the day of Pentecost? And to answer that question, Acts 2, 5, 5 through 7, and also verses 11. Say it like this, and they were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when the sound occurred, the multitude came together, and they were confused, because everyone heard them speaking his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And verse 11 says, we hear them speaking now in our own tongues the wonderful works of God. This is what's awesome, because during this feast, because of the feast of Passover and the feast of Pentecost taking place, and because this was a major place of trade for the nations, that there was representation there in Jerusalem from every nation. They were there doing trade, or they were there for the festivals, they were there for the things going on. The Bible says that every representation from the nation was there. And they came, and when the power of God came down and up on that upper room, like a sound of a rushing wind, it says that they came, and they were speaking in tongues, and they were speaking in different tongues. It says, they looked and said, hey, these are Galatians, man. What Galileans, what's going on here? What are these Galileans speaking like this? What they were saying was this. These people are not bilingual, okay? These people do not know other languages. These are simple, educated people, but yet they're speaking a complex language. They understand my language, and they're speaking in my language. And not only were they speaking their language, they were speaking and praising God. And so this is what the picture is happening here. People, the upper 120 get full with the Holy Spirit. The fire of God comes down, sits upon them. They begin to speak in tongues. And as they're speaking in tongues, they're speaking out God's praises in every language. And even though they don't know what they're saying, they're speaking the different language here and a different language here and a different language here. And they're saying, God be praised. To God be the glory. God's work will be established. And they're just speaking out praises to God. And people who could understand and say, wait, these guys are speaking my language and they're praising God. And so it draws all the nations together. All the nations are coming together and hearing and understanding the outpouring of God's Holy Spirit. This is big, because remember all the way back in the book of Genesis when man spoke one language. Man spoke one language, and remember the story of the Tower of Babel? It says that they were building the tower to heavens, and God looked at them and said, man, these people have got the wrong idea. They want to build a tower that reaches to heaven so they can see God. But God was like, there ain't nothing they can't do when they come together. He was like, there ain't nothing. These people are actually making this tower happen. And so he sent and he brought to them a curse and sent to them a many languages so they would have to divide up and they couldn't work together. And so we see the languages at that time that they all spoke different languages that was given. At that point, everybody spoke the same language. But God gave out a different language to different people, and those people who spoke and understood each other and went to different ways. And so that's when the nation spread out and different people groups were established. And we see the different language groups established at this time. Let's go back now to the upper room. See, the upper room is just a reversal of what just happened. Now it's a blessing of the Holy Spirit being poured out, and the one language is drawing all the nations back together. One nation, listen, all the nations are coming together, and they're hearing the power of the language of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that awesome? That the Holy Spirit translates every language. That the Holy Spirit translates every heart. That the Holy Spirit speaks to every nation, to all people. It speaks to all of us. It's an awesome thing to realize that on the day the cloud of fire came, a loud sound came upon Mount Sinai, and the law was written on tablets, and 3,000 people were killed. And God wrote his law upon the tablets of stone. But on the day of Pentecost, it says that a sound from heaven also came, and the fire set upon their heads. And they began to speak. And it says that Peter stood up and they began to speak. And 3,000 people gave their heart to God right then. So come on, see the correlation, what's happened. To Mount Sinai, 3,000 died. On the day of Pentecost, they fully come. 3,000 people give their heart to God right then. I mean, you think God was not painting a picture that we could relate to. And no longer was the tablet of law written on the stone, but now they were written on the hearts of men. Wow. See, God had a plan for Pentecost, and he had a plan for the Holy Spirit all along that you and I could understand, that you and I could embrace. See, Jesus came to bring us into right standing with God. Isn't that so true? That Jesus came, he died upon the cross, that you and I could become righteous, that we could come into right standing with God. But the Holy Spirit comes to empower us to live righteously. Jesus came to make us righteous, and the Holy Spirit comes to help to empower me to live righteously. You cannot live righteous without the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. Let me say again, you, me, we cannot live righteous without the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. Our last question we're going to answer today, can I experience Pentecost? Can I experience Pentecost? Let's look what the Scripture says in Acts chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Then there appeared to them divided tongues, as of what? Fire. And one sat upon each of them. Now I want you to get the picture here. This is what's happening here, is that the tongues of fire is setting above their heads, what Scripture says. It actually set right above their heads. And so you would be in a room, if you were in the upper room, and a tongue of fire was actually appearing right above your head. And people would say, look, what's above your head? And you would do this. What? I don't see anything. I'm trying to, you know, you're trying to see it. You can't see your own. But you can look at somebody else and say, I see it on you. I see yours. Well, I see yours, but I can't see myself. So you had to accept it by faith. Isn't that something? Realize, you had to accept that you had it by faith because you couldn't see yourself. You could see somebody else, but you couldn't see yourself. But you had to accept by faith that you also had received that tongues of fire. Now, this is a big thing because we see where it's for everyone. It's what it says. It says that tongues of fire for who? For each of them. It didn't say for part of them. It didn't say for a portion of them, just for the disciples and those who already had a little bit of teaching. No, it said each of them who were in the upper room, each one of them received the tongues of fire. Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. And being assembled together with him, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise. This is what Jesus said. Wait for the Father, which he said to you, you have heard from me, for John truly baptized you in water, but what? You will be baptized. This is Jesus talking. You will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Jesus promised it. Let me say this. 100% of Jesus' promise come true. Yes, it does. We believe everything that Jesus promised, he has and will and shall fulfill. So when he promised that his Holy Spirit would be for us, all of us, it's for all of us. He didn't send his Holy Spirit for part of us, but it's for all of us. We back it up again in Acts chapter 2, verses 38 and 39. Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. This is Peter talking. Now the Holy Spirit's come down. He's out there preaching to all these people. For you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is what? Talking about the promise of the Holy Spirit. The promise is what? For who? For you. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's for you. He said, the promise is for you. And he said, not only for you, but it's for your children. And then he looks into the future, even though they had no idea what he was talking about. But you and I sitting here today, God knew that you and I would be here reading the Scripture, talking about it, and arguing this point. Is the Holy Spirit really for today? Was it just for them? Was it for all of us? And he says, and it's always for our children, but it's also for what? For all those generations afar off. Isn't that awesome? That God looked into the future and was preaching and said, listen, it's not only for the people in the upper room, but it's for all of the 3,000 that are here right now. It's for your children's children. And it's also for all generations, those who are far off. It's the promise of the Holy Spirit that we can all receive it. Jesus' promise is for all of us. Well, I believe that was just a one-time occurrence. Well, I beg to differ. Look in Scripture. Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 19. We see the Holy Spirit being poured out again, being poured out again, being poured out again. We see it many times in Scripture where the Holy Spirit was continually poured out. Those who say, I cannot experience Pentecost because it was a one-time event. And I've heard many Christians who have said this to me. Well, that was just a one-time event, Pastor. That was 2,000 years ago, and it's not for me today. Let me ask you this question. How long ago did Jesus die on the cross? How long? 2,000 years ago. Right, approximately 2,000 years ago. It's salvation for you today. Yes, it is. How many believe that salvation is for me today? Yeah, we do. How many believe that we need salvation today? So let me ask you this. How many believe this? The salvation was happened 2,000 years ago, and it's still a need for every generation, for every person today. How much more, and if so, is the Holy Spirit, which was poured out 2,000 years ago, in need of today? I need it today. It's for today, and I need it today. Until God comes back and returns us back to heaven, we need the power of the Holy Spirit. And it wasn't just a one-time thing. It happened many times. It was for every generation. And just as salvation is for every person in every generation and the generations that will come after us, so is the Holy Spirit being poured out to those who want it and want to receive it. It's for us. It didn't stop 2,000 years ago. It was not just a biblical times outpouring, but it's an outpouring for those who want to receive it now. You see, Passover was the feast of remembering the shedding of the lamb's blood. Because at Passover, it said at 9 a.m. that they were to slice the throat of the lamb and to take the blood of the lamb and to put it across there. Remember that happened? So when they celebrated the Feast of Passover, they would kill the lamb at 9 a.m. Do you realize it was 9 a.m. when Jesus was crucified? It was 9 a.m., they tell us, that he was nailed to the cross. At 3 p.m., they were to take the lamb and they were to put it in the oven. After they, when they celebrate the feast of Passover, they would take the lamb if they killed it and they would put it in the oven at 3 p.m. Do you realize they tell us that 3 p.m. is when they put Jesus in the tomb? At the same time, it says that the fathers would take the unleavened bread and they would hide it into a place in the house where no one could find it. And then the day after the Sabbath, that the father would take out that bread. Unleavened bread represented a clean, pure bread. And he would take it, and he would take it across the house, and he would wave it across the house as an offering to the Lord and say, God, we thank you that this year you're bringing blessing and a new harvest to our lives and to our family and to our nation. At the same time, the fathers were pouring out. That bread was hidden. If you realize the bread of life was resurrecting from the grave. And he was resurrecting, and he was bringing forth a new harvest to a new generation. He was bringing forth a new salvation that was going to last to all generations. You tell me God doesn't have a plan? These things are important. In one day, we see the plan of the Passover being fulfilled. We see the same thing happening with the Feast of Pentecost, that the Holy Spirit came with a loud sound, with fire, and 3,000 people perished. And he wrote the law of the tablets on the day of Pentecost. The fire came again with the sound of a rushing mighty wind, and the fire set upon their heads, and 3,000 people were saved. And the Holy Spirit that day, in one day, the Feast of Pentecost had been fulfilled. So there's only one feast that hasn't been fulfilled yet. It's the Feast of Tabernacles. And the Feast of Tabernacles involves trumpets and atonement, which means judgment. And how many know that Scripture teaches that Jesus said that last day that no man's going to know the day or the hour. But on that day, the trumpet's going to sound. The trumpet's going to sound. And those who are dead in Christ, they're going to rise first. And those of us who remain are going to be caught up together in the air to meet them. And we're going to spend what? Eternity in tabernacle with our Savior. What an awesome thing, yeah. So in one day, Passover was fulfilled. In one day, Pentecost was fulfilled. And one day soon to come, tabernacle will be fulfilled. So how do you live in your life now? How do you live in your life now? Let's bow our heads. Let's ask that question. How do we live our life now? Are we ready? Are we ready to spend the Feast of Tabernacles with our Lord and Savior? Are we ready if the trumpet will sound tomorrow? Are we ready? None of us are guaranteed tomorrow. We know that. Christian and sinner alike, all of us know that none of us are guaranteed tomorrow. But what you are guaranteed is a chance right now that you can spend eternity in tabernacle with our Lord. So that's the first question I want to ask you right now. Those of you here say, Pastor, I need to accept the gift of the Lamb. I need to accept that Jesus Christ died on the cross for the forgiveness of my sins. I need to accept today that Jesus died on the cross to forgive me my sins. And today, I want to accept that and make a life-changing decision. With every head bowed and nobody looking around but me, I want to ask you that question. Are you here today? Say, Pastor, I need to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Today's my day. Maybe you never prayed that prayer of salvation before. I would not embarrass you in any way at all, but I want to give you that chance to make that decision. Maybe you're here and you prayed that prayer a long time ago, and today you say, Pastor, I prayed that prayer a long time ago, but I haven't lived for God in a long time. And today, I want to come back and just renew that commitment to Jesus. So I'm going to ask if you're here, nobody's looking around but me, say, Pastor, today I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Can you just raise your hand where you're at and say, that's me today? Thank you. Anybody else want to join these? Thank you. Anybody else want to join these people today? Raise it high. Today's my day. Thank you. Anybody else will say, that's me. Today, I want to accept Jesus Christ. If you haven't raised it yet, don't let this opportunity pass you by. I want to make sure you're at the Feast of Tabernacles. I want to make sure you're there with us, that you can be caught up together to remain with our Savior forever. If you haven't raised your hand, today you want to raise your hand. One more time, raise it. If you haven't done it yet, let me see it. Raise it high. We had those who raised their hands. I'm going to ask that we all say this prayer, especially those who raised your hands. I want you to say this prayer after me. And as Christians, we're also going to repeat it with you. Say, Dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. I give you everything I am. All of my sin, all of my pain, all of my hurt, all of my dreams. I give everything to you today. I believe your son, Jesus, was the Messiah. And from this day forward, I will live for you in Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer today and you meant it, we say welcome to the family of God. Yeah, what an awesome, awesome experience. Before you leave today, make sure you take time. If you raised your hand, stop by the back and receive a free Bible. Some other information tells you what you need to do next in your new journey, because it's a new journey, okay? If you don't have a church home, you need to be plugged in to a church home. If you don't have a church home, we'd love to have you here. If you have a church home, go home and tell somebody, hey, I gave my life to Jesus today. Get surrounded by people who will carry you and support you during this most important time in your life. The rest of us here today, how many today want to stand on your feet and say, Pastor, I want to walk in everything that the Holy Spirit has in my life. Can you stand on your feet? How many today say, Pastor, my faith is built up today as I see how Pentecost and the Holy Spirit translates throughout the whole Bible. I tell you what, if you are a Christian today and you hear this message and you see the dots aligning throughout Scripture, it should put a light in your head. It should put a desire in your heart. Say, God, this Holy Spirit was an awesome plan, and you had it lined up all from the beginning of time. Now, I'm going to talk more about speaking in tongues, the gift of the prayer language later on, so don't get your... Some of you are thinking, I want to know more about that. That's great. I'm going to talk more about that as we continue this series. But today, I want your heart to just be full of anticipation about what God wants to do in your life. I want you to be full of anticipation. God, you are doing something awesome. Lord, you have destined. I believe in the power of the Passover, what happened on the cross. I believe in the power of Pentecost. What happened in the upper room is for me today. And I believe that someday, I believe in the power of Tabernacle, that we're going to be caught up together with Jesus Christ. God the Father, Son, and what? The Holy Spirit. What an awesome prayer. Father, we thank you today, God, that you're the God who brings us closer to you. Jesus, we believe in you. With our hands raised today and with our hearts open, we're going to sing this song that says, Jesus, I believe in you. And as you say that, I want you to say, not only am I saying Jesus, but I say, Holy Spirit, I believe in you. God the Father, I believe in you. And I want everything you have for my life as I open it up today.
To your hand I commit again all I am for you, Lord. You hold my world in the palm of your hands, and I am yours forever. Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I belong to you. You're the reason that I live, the reason that I sing with all I am. I'll walk with you, Lord. I'll walk with you wherever you go, Lord.
Wherever you go. you go.
Through the tears and joy.
Through tears and joy.
Lord, I'll trust in
I'll
you.
I'll trust in you.
And I will live with all my
ways.
Oh, Lord.
With all of your ways.
Your promises.
Your promises.
Oh, Lord.
Forever. Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I belong to you. You're the reason that I am, the reason that I see. Jesus, I believe.
One more time, let's raise your hands and say this to him. Father, we worship you today.
I will worship.
I will worship you, Lord.
I will worship.
I will worship.
I will worship. Jesus, I belong to you. You're the reason that I live. The reason that I see.
With your hands raised right now, Father, I just pray, Lord, for every person in this building today, God, as we open up our lives to the Holy Spirit, Lord. As we open up our hearts to the Holy Spirit, Lord, I pray to Father that we realize that, God, you have intended for the power of Pentecost, for the power of the Holy Spirit to be released in our life. God, you have designed it. And God, today our faith is full. Our faith is full today, knowing that, God, you have a plan of redemption. You have a plan to stand and empower us. And you have a plan of calling us home. And God, today we release ourselves to your plan. And God, we say, come, Holy Spirit, filling our hearts to fullness. That may our hearts be full today of anticipation of the outpouring of your Holy Spirit in our life, of the baptism of the Holy Spirit in our life, as we learn to walk with you every day and say, good morning, Holy Spirit. Let's do it together. And Father, we bless your name together. If you believe that, I want you to put your hands together and bless the Lord. Today, before we dismiss, I want to just read you a little bit of numbers. So I asked our offering to give us the count for our church plant today. How many believe God's a God of the numbers? So I just told you that, right? Okay. I asked you for $4,500 to buy a church sign. Is that correct? $4,508 was given today by Destiny Church. Come on now. You tell me God's not good. So that means another $2,250 to be given by the district. So today we're able to raise $6,750. Amen. Isn't that awesome? That's awesome. Come on, one more time. Give God a hand clap. Let's thank Him, Lord. From the bottom of my heart, thank you so much for just following the lead of your pastor. When I tell you God's laid on my heart, you guys are so quick to respond. I know the Holy Spirit's speaking to you. Thank you so much for your obedience. I know this is going to be a big blessing to their church. They're going to be able to get church sign. You'll be able to get to kickstart that website and get it off really fast. We're going to get this money to them really fast so they can just continue to go with the momentum God has for the church. How many believe that God's going to rock Nixa with a revolution? We believe that. We believe that. Turn around to somebody, give them a high five. I said, man, it is great to be with you today. God's good.